Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hey, everybody. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show. Julie Hayden here. Chuck Bonnywell. Chuck is just being delayed momentarily. He's on his way down to the world headquarters of the Chuck and Julie Show. He'll be here in a second. Holy cow. A lot to talk about. And you know what? Right here, we're going to give you the truth straight up. One of the things I noticed as you go around, you have to go around the clock to all of the news sites. Everybody is spinning it. I got to be honest, even the Republican, some of the Republican sites, it's all being spun. Everybody, the PR and the legal battles have started over this. This is what I feared. I know Chuck was optimistic early on. Hardly ever is Chuck wrong. But and we see, you know, Trump may still pull it out. There is a clear path to victory for both sides at this point. We're going to bring George Anthonisopoulos on. Here comes Chuck. Extremely depressing here in Colorado. We've also got Ben Nicholas coming up. Ben, though, has sort of a plan that they've been working on forever to try to help us out here in Colorado. And then our friend and colleague and columnist, Dr. Brian Junedep, coming on at the bottom of the hour to start talking about stuff.
Down here.
Yeah.
From the third floor down to here.
Sandra saying, I hate Democrats and college establishment Republicans. Sandra, that pretty much sums it up too. Hey, we've got George Anthonisopoulos, the A-man, on with us. Hey, George, good afternoon. Oh, wait, he just dropped. We'll call him back. So here's the state of things right now. And I want to clarify for folks, if you're listening to the podcast later, this is as of 3:00 Denver time on Wednesday. States, kind of the battleground states, somewhat still in play. Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. Interestingly, Nevada was initially saying, Chuck, they were not going to release any results till tomorrow. Now they're saying, okay, I guess we'll release them today. Meanwhile, the Trump campaign is saying they're pretty confident about Arizona, but they don't think they will know that final for sure on Friday.
Which means what?
cheating. I'm just going to say the Democrats did exactly what I feared they would do. Why is it that the counties, the Democrat-controlled counties in the battleground states, last night in several of the states, it looks like Trump's winning, he's winning, they mysteriously, for no explicable reason, stop counting ballots. We wake up this morning and in Michigan and Wisconsin, they find thousands and thousands and thousands of ballots, all of them for Joe Biden, zero of them for Trump. So when Biden is saying, oh, I won Michigan, I won Wisconsin, I'm glad to see the Trump campaign has already filed lawsuits in those states. In Wisconsin, they want a recount. I find it suspicious that in Michigan, they won't let the Republicans in. Have you seen the pictures? They're boarding up the windows in Detroit of where they're counting some of the absentee ballots. It is exactly what I thought was going to happen. The Democrats cheating. They had to stop accounting because they had to see how many ballots they had to make up. And that's what they're doing. But I think there is still a path for Trump to win. There's still a path for Biden to win. And I do think we're going to see just PR spin and legal battles for a while. I think it's, for what it's worth, my daughter is into astrology and the astrologers say this is an extremely chaotic time and they don't think they're going to be results till the 20th. So maybe they know.
It comes down to basically, can Trump hang on to Pennsylvania and can he overcome?
Now, his campaign is declaring victory in Pennsylvania, right. But that's what I want to caution you about. So when you go around, make sure you make the rounds of all of them, because depending on
thoroughly confused.
Right. Well, because what becomes clear then is the news organizations and Fox. I think last night the big loser was Fox News, to tell you the truth. The news organizations are clearly operating as spin arms, spin doctors for the Biden campaign. ABC just polled saying that he won Arizona, that Biden won Arizona. Now they don't know. But that's been George.
Well, let me give my analysis.
Okay. And then we'll bring George.
It's really down to, can Trump hang on to Pennsylvania without the shenanigans, and can they overcome the deficit in Arizona? Both seem possible.
Yeah.
Both seem, I would say Biden is leading in the betting polls, but that doesn't really matter.
No, they're all so cheating. They're cheating. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they're cheating on the betting polls, but the as a practical matter, it's the Senate looks like it's Republican.
This is good news.
With 51% of the vote, 51 seats, and one more up for a general election in.
Not coronavirus. Don't worry. Not coronavirus. Just a cold.
And in the House, I haven't following that just
because that's the one bright spot.
Well, it is, and the Republicans are doing great, although it's not really reflected. Anytime a Republican appears to have taken a close race, it's never racked up to the Republicans. Right now, it looks like the Republicans will pick up between 8 and 13 seats in the House. They would have to pick up 17 to take the House, but that's not that far apart.
No, it's a strong minority. Ben is just texting us that Fox just declared Michigan for Biden. That's because because Biden declared Michigan for Biden. You notice that Trump declares Pennsylvania and they don't declare Pennsylvania. I mean, Fox News, the news portion is a disgrace, but let's bring up George now. Okay. George Anthonisopoulos, because we would be remiss if we didn't talk about Colorado. I think in Colorado, it's time to just, so first our guest, George, thank you for your time. Welcome. And we're glad to have you on the show. You've been up all over the place, all over the media this morning, haven't you?
a little bit, but it's the curse of being right.
There you go. It is time, I think, that we just burn down the establishment Republican Party in Colorado and throw the bums out and just start over again. We couldn't have really, okay, I guess that, you know, people voted for a tax decrease. I guess, you know, but thank God we don't have to talk about Cory Gardner anymore. You know, your thoughts though, George.
So before we launch into Colorado, and boy, are we going to launch into Colorado, let's talk nationally, because okay. I was on your show last week. I've spoken to Chuck off the air. It's been an incredibly long night. And what did we say on the air last week? We said Trump was going to win, but specifically we said he was going to overperform with Hispanics and Blacks. And yesterday I was talking about look at Broward, Broward County, look at Miami-Dade, look at Philadelphia. You will see Trump overperforming. I think he went from the single digits to 12% with Black men. I think he's about a third with Hispanics. He went from 4 to 8% with Black women. All of those things are bad news for Democrats.
The problem is
that who counts the votes, that matters.
Yes.
Stalin was right. It's not who votes, it's who counts the votes.
Right.
And you have 100-some thousand votes appear during the night for Biden without a single Trump vote. That is statistically
impossible.
It's impossible that you have 100,000 with not a single Trump vote mixed in there. Even somebody throwing one in as a joke. Nothing.
And that's, George, after they stopped counting the ballots, right? That just came in. So they stopped counting the ballots. Then magically, when they start again, these magical mystery unicorn Biden ballots appear. And in Wisconsin, now it's hard to, you know, I got to say on Twitter, stuff is all over the place, but it appears that there are more people who voted in Wisconsin than there are voters. So that's interesting too.
Yeah, but when you lose those state elections,
yes,
the people you put in place are in positions of power for these national elections. And yeah, I get the Electoral College. It's not a national election. It's 50 state elections. I get it.
But they count. Right? Yes.
But they count. But the secretaries of state, the attorneys general, the governors in the state matter. And that's where the political establishment for the Republican Party has screwed the pooch yet again, because they're a bunch of incompetent morons. And let me just
don't sugarcoat it, George.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it because they have put us in the unfortunate position where you don't get the government you want, you get the government you deserve.
Yeah.
And these people have put us in a position that we're going to get the government we deserve. Now, do I think Trump still has a fighting chance? Yeah. Do I think that there was some shady stuff that went on in, let's say, the upper Rust Belt? Yeah. Do I think they're trying to do shady stuff in Pennsylvania? You better believe it. Arizona, Nevada? Yeah. Georgia, thank God, we have some Republicans there who are not complete dullards.
Yeah.
You notice how the states where Trump has the best shot, typically run by Republicans.
Yes.
The states where Trump has become a long shot, even though he did really well 4 years ago, even though the enthusiasm was there, even though he visited these states many times, when you have a, let's say, a state attorney general come out and say, oh, he's not going to win Pennsylvania.
Right.
Really?
Right.
Ballot,
I mean, he's not joking about that. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, he's not joking. And where in Colorado, I mean, again, because the Republican establishment party here is such a bunch of, all they want to do is have power. They don't care if they win. So it doesn't make any difference. So there's nobody going to challenge it. But if they did, who are they going to challenge it to? You know, all of the Democrats, I mean, what, Colorado, almost all of the district attorneys are Democrat. All the Secretary of State is Democrat. The Attorney General is Democrat. I mean, who are you going to appeal it to? Nobody.
Yeah. And it's, unfortunately, this is the position that we've put ourselves in because we are ruled by a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
And when I say that, I mean a Republican political establishment that, you know, can't do anything else. Lord knows they can't find a job somewhere else. They like politics. The barriers to entry are low. So they're like, oh, I can make a lot of money here. And
yeah.
You become good at selling snake oil. And all of a sudden you have a mediocre career. Now, let's not dwell on what's going on nationally because that is not going to be solved for several weeks. It's going to go into litigation. We're going to see states that were called all of a sudden aren't being called.
I agree.
You get a recount that is, let's say they throw out the ballots that appeared mysteriously that, you know, or ballots cast by dead people, you know, we might have a race.
Right.
But let's focus on Colorado. The Cory Gardner campaign. Let's talk about Cory. Because
do we have to anymore? No, I know we have to. I know we have to do like a debriefing. And you know, but it's like you know, to me, you know, the billionaire donors or that we have in Colorado, the Colorado concerned people, all you business people, you know, wake up, you know, have paid family leave. I mean, it's, they're destroying the state. And there's, like you said, George, it's, so this isn't some theoretical discussion. This is stuff that is going to make our lives, our education, everything more difficult. They're, you know, we're going to lock us down forever, for God's sake.
Well, let's talk about Cory Gardner. Cory Gardner didn't care if he won. I mean, I've said this 1,000 times. He went to Washington after graduating from CU Law School to work for Wayne Allard. Wayne Allard did nothing during his 8 years, retired, saying, oh, yeah, I promised only 2 terms, and became a lobbyist. He makes millions of dollars, lives in a huge mansion, and lives a cush life. And Cory Gardner saw that, so he did
That's
the exact
idea.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, his concession speech, if you listen to it.
You
know, he could have slobbered over Hickenlooper or everybody else more because he's going to be lobbying him, right? You know, next week.
Yeah.
Or whatever he gets down to it. So that the problem, there are threefold for Republicans. One, there's no money. There's no money. Anschutz doesn't want to give to losers, and he's center left anyway. And same with the other business people. There's no money in the Republican Party. Two, we have a consultant class that grew rich trashing the grassroots and beating up on them with money.
The Patrick Nevilles.
Yeah,
and people like Ben that we're going to be in, and Neil that we're going to be bringing up in a second.
Right, you know, filing criminal charges against them, doing whatever it took. I mean, did absolutely, never against Democrats, of course, but always against Republicans. And so you have to say the consultant class, no money. And as a practical matter, a lot of Republicans who just, I think, as George said, like politics, they're really squishies. So they, you know, friends for the future.
But they just want power.
Parola. But they're by their very nature, they think they're They're better than most Republicans. Yeah, because they're closer to Democrats, so they figure they're better than whoever they're running against. And a combination of those nothing's going to change. Nothing.
Well, we're going to talk to Ben about that. But George, your take.
Well, I ran for Congress. I lost Ed Perlmutter. I was a political newbie. I'd just gotten out of the Army. I saw the party from the inside, realized it was broken beyond measure. I said, the only way Republicans in this state have any sort of shot is if we can fix the party. I ran for state chair. When I ran for state chair, we got to the state assembly. Anil, who I hope you have on here shortly.
I think he's here somewhere, yeah.
He nominated me. Now, I crafted a speech modeled on Ronald Reagan's speech, A Time for Choosing. Mm-hmm. And I told all the delegates that it was a time for choosing. You can vote for the person who essentially promises to raise more money, which he never did, and do the things that are business as usual, or you could vote for me and these new ideas, which are uncomfortable, which are not the way we've done things before. And the state party chose my opponent, and congratulations. You don't get the party you want, you get the party you deserve. And frankly, we asked for this. We asked for someone who's going to say, we're going to raise a lot of money and money equals victory, which it does not.
Well, not we,
point taken. But
the Republican Party in Colorado is morbid and dead, and there's nothing going to revive it. So, I mean, you just get used to it and hopefully see if we can get some move to a county and join Wyoming. Because there is no path for Republicans in Colorado. No money, no commitment, no consultants, no anything else. Well, I know, but I'm just giving my view. I believe it is impossible for Republicans ever to win.
Well, here's the issue. So at this point, we are so far gone. Rome has burned completely. Corey is gone. There are no statewide Republicans. The Republicans that we had, the ones that were worth their salt, are Patrick Neville.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give credit to Dave Williams.
Dave Williams won.
Right.
Yep.
But he was trying to tell the Trump campaign, more people in Colorado are terrible.
They knew it.
We'll lose you this race.
Yeah. They knew it.
Well, I think they wrote.
Your regional director sucks.
Yeah. Well, and they don't,
and you know what? He was right.
Yes. Well, let me, I think if it's okay, George, let's keep you and let's bring Ben on. Ben Nicholas, who's he's an Adams County grassroots hero. Because, I'm like, Chuck, I refuse. Like I said, I've watched too many Star Trek movies, even with the Kobayashi Maru. There's always a way to win, at least to keep trying to win. So I refuse to just say, oh, well, we're going to have to move to Wyoming because we just have a nice house and we redid our backyard and our deck.
You can put it on.
And a flatbed and move it. So let's bring in Ben, because Ben, I know you're trying to do some stuff, and maybe I don't know your thoughts on all of this with George and Chuck and Julie.
Sure. Well, my distant as a matter of full disclosure here, I did support George for the state chairmanship, so I'm in his camp all the way. I believe that we're going to have to do exactly the same thing that your friend Ted Tripa designed in the blueprint, and that we must start really identifying and targeting these local races, the school board races in particular, and then the county and city, or the county commissioners, the city council members.
Races.
That's right. So these politics that we have to do has to become local races. And so we have to support those. And that's why in Adams County here, meaning the Adams County Executive Committee, we created our own IEC for the Adams County Republican Party, of which I am the director of that.
Okay.
So the formation of it was just for those local races. Our bylaws prohibit us from getting involved in any of the national races, just local.
Yeah.
So no congressional race or anything like that. And I think that that's what we have to do. We have to mimic what Ted put over there.
Right.
And kudos to them.
We're missing a small part of Ted's things they did.
That
they
had money.
There's that.
They put together organizations with millions of dollars in campaign from SEIU to every other Democratic.
Well, that's a minor detail. Chuck, you're being negative. No.
I think you do have to concentrate on local races. I mean, I think I see it's a great idea, except, you know, I mean, have you had to move all the money offshore because you had so much? I mean, you know.
Right. Not hardly. You know, I mean, we are not flush with cash because I don't think really, you know, anybody really knows about us as yet. This COVID thing is kind of shut down.
They know about it, and they
they're going to try to squash it.
Yeah,
well, the state party actually doesn't. They hate us because we did this because they want to control all the money at the central headquarters.
They want to control all the non-money.
Right. So let's bring George. So George, what about this money thing? I know you've talked a lot about one of the key things that the Republicans should do and they don't do is try to impact the campaign finance laws in Colorado, right?
Yeah, it's about the only thing the Republicans can do at this point, which is challenge the constitutionality of the campaign finance limitations, which we've already won on, but they left them in place. So they were, I believe they were ruled as unconstitutional, but yet somehow left in place. Chuck, you're the attorney. You explain to me how that makes sense. But the point is we have to sue to get those taken off. Removed.
And what would that do?
Because
go ahead. Yeah, why would that be so important?
Because Jared Polis is going to donate an unlimited sum to his own campaign, and then every Democrat in the state is going to ride his coattails to victory, even if you have someone completely incompetent and politically daft like Jenna Griswold or, you know, Phil Weiser. And the Republican candidates are going to stand no shot because the maximum amount they can take from an individual contributor is capped at some absurdly low number, which means unless you are not just a millionaire, but you have tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, you've got no shot.
And we saw that play out when District Attorney George Brockler was thinking about running for governor, and then that all got messed up, and we won't even go into some of that. But one of the things that he has since said was, just look at it. He said, Jared Polis, as you pointed out, has an unlimited pocketbook. He said, there's no way you can win. But Ben, that's what I like your point. So you go back to local, right? And in local, it is, the door knocking and some of the traditional things you can do. For a school board race, which they try to pretend is, you know, nonpartisan, which is just a complete joke. But I think, like you said, that's how the Democrats started it. And I think that's the only way I think we can go. Because I think we can write off any statewide office for, I don't know, our lifetime, practically.
Right. And that's because they're strategic. They're strategic in how they did that. You know, they picked the lowest hanging fruit. And remember, I was on several months back during the primaries with you, and I warned against the false flags in Laramie County, if you remember that. And so now they had three Democrats up there that won. Right. So, I mean, these are things that are taking place throughout the state where we're getting Democrats that are running. And George was with me, and I was with him when we debated Dick Wadhams and Wayne Williams about this open primary. And this is why we're getting such poor candidates. And I think that we have to get rid of that, and there's nobody willing to do it. And that's why we're in this serious trouble.
Well, and let me ask you both this. Am I correct in, though, with the open primary, and the reason for folks who are listening why that matters, and again, if you're not from Colorado, I guarantee you the Democrats are pushing this on your state, too. It is coming to your state. What that does is that allows the Democrats to play in the Republican primaries, and it allows them to push essentially their fake Republican candidate, and then that person wins because they flood it with money. Oh, Rev is bringing Chuck the phone. The bat phone is ringing. But am I right in that the Republican Party can opt out of the open primary, right? or no?
That's right.
Seven vote by.
It takes 75% of the state central committee members to vote and opt out, which is unconstitutionally high, in my opinion. And even our state party attorney had to agree that it is a winnable case if we ever brought the damn thing to court.
Right. And would you go back to, George, your point? So let's ask ourselves why, given what's happened in Colorado to the Republican Party and Republican candidates and the complete disaster that open primaries have been, why would the establishment Republicans not say, hey, guys, I have an idea. Maybe that's vote and number one to get rid of that open primary thing. I mean,
because to their best interest, and that's all they care about. They don't care if it causes Republicans to lose. It increases their chance of getting their people elected.
And their consultant fees.
And their consultant fees in the primary. And they don't give a shit about anything else. Dick Wadhams
Here's the thing. I don't know that you're fully appreciating the gravity of where we are now.
Oh, I do. I do. I got it.
Versus a closed primary. That we have dropped. I mean, the city's totally.
Even, we can't win anyway.
Like,
you're saying.
Dick Wadhams, we should wish him the best. Send him back to Montana, and tell him to never step foot in the state again. You know, the other establishment Republicans, the Josh Penn, the consultant class, they're never gonna work here again. They have destroyed their reputations. Greg Brophy, who likes to play both sides in Colorado Concern, that's great. Gallagher's gone. So when they start proposing these tax hikes on commercial real estate, what are you gonna do then? You're gonna come
right
and say,
yeah. Oh, they will. They're going to come to us, George, and they're going to have a horrid candidate like a, you know, like a Walker Stapleton, and they're going to tell us, oh, we have to vote for him. And you know what? We must unite around another. And here's the thing. We can just tell him, doesn't make any difference. You know, like you said, the Polis is going to, he's governor for the next, you know, forever, and he's probably going to continue the executive order, so we'll never get to actually vote for governor again anyway. I mean, people need to wake up and look around. If your business has closed, if your business has been hurt, if your kid isn't able to go to school and is having to do the joke of the online learning, it falls on Jared Polis and the Democrats here. And people in Colorado need to wake up and do something about that. Or else this, you know, I mean, what did in Oregon, they just legalized heroin, for God's sakes. That's just gas.
Yay.
If we're going to see that here in Colorado, everybody raise your hand if we think the
Democrats,
you know.
Good.
I'm sorry, that was a rant there. But
I think more. I mean, you know, heroin users are Democrats, so you know, let's make it legal. Let them kill themselves.
I believe that we stepped on the banana peel when Tom Tancredo supported recreational marijuana in this state. It attracted so many Democrats from other states to come here, and I think that's where we went down the slippery slope. That was the first step.
Yep. Let me, because we're going to go to Brian Junedep here. So maybe both of you, George, your kind of last thoughts from you, and then last thoughts from Ben.
It is so much worse than I think we appreciate. And when we talk about how do we recover, anybody who's selling you a quick fix, they're lying. And moreover, the people who say that this is the fault of the far right, Patrick Nibbles, the Dave Williams, the Chuck and Julies. Hey, why don't you guys look and see what happened out in the 3rd Congressional District? Why don't you look, Lauren, Lauren won. That's weird. I remember everybody saying like, oh, there's no way she's going to beat Diana Mitch Bush. And we just had a wave Democrat year here in Colorado, and yet 5 points. And by the way, Amendment 76, which my name was on, that also won.
Had to be a citizen to vote.
So for all these political prognosticators who are selling you a quick fix, they're a bunch of idiots who are trying to make a buck. Don't listen to them and do a self-assessment.
I can promise you I'll go to the meeting, which is a lot of people who are in Republican politics, and I'll hear Dick Wadhams and the rest of them say,
it's Trump's 2022
is going to be great if Trump loses. That means, you know, we won't be burdened with Trump. we can gravitate to a moderate candidate like Walker Stapleton. we're really going. We all need to unite.
Unite and give more money. Yeah.
You give us your money. Give us your votes. Give us your walking shoes. And everybody will just sit there. And I wish somebody would go, shut the F up.
Chuck, we're not going to let Chuck go to that meeting, I don't think. All right. Hey, George, we got to let you go. Thank you for your time. We'll have you back.
Take care.
Go anywhere. Ben, final thoughts from you.
Yeah, I think, I just hate to be a negative Nancy here, but I think that we do have some hope here. I mean, I was trying to talk George into running for the chairmanship again, but he thought his wife would murder him. I told him I would donate.
Good job.
I would donate some money for a nice funeral. So I'd help him out that way. But yeah, I think that we need some leadership here in the state that's more aggressive. You know, we've been beaten down like a dog in a corner, and it's time to come out of that corner and bare some teeth. And that's what George's been doing this morning, this afternoon. I think you'll hear the same thing from Anil. And I'd like to just end with one quick little story here about yesterday. I was a poll watcher at Adams County and Election Center there. And the county clerk out there, who's a Democrat, Josh, I forgot his last name. But anyway, he revoked the right for us as poll watchers to view or challenge any of the signature verifications on tier one. So we were absolutely handcuffed at that point. And that was under Rule 8. And so that took place about 2:35. And so that's happening across the country where Republican poll watchers are being prohibited from viewing what legally they should be able to do.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Good point. You got to ask why. Ben, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. And let me read this from Mark before I go to Brian. Does anyone really believe Colorado has a Republican Party? I do not. Name one statewide leader. Someone has to burn down the current party, put a statewide effort together with people that actually want to win at any cost and not come in second place every time. Absolutely agree. Let's switch it back a little bit now to some national stuff. We want to bring on
Brian Jundep, our favorite ophthalmologist.
There we go. And columnist and American thinker. So Brian, we've been on the show for a half an hour now. I mean, probably everything's changed again. I mean, that's what Chuck's doing. You're welcome to the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Guys.
You're working. Is that happy gas in the background there that you're?
I'm at the surgery center. I'm done with cases. I'm just in a room here. So. You get whatever background you get.
There you go. So your thoughts.
Nationally, the Democrats have telegraphed. They told us what they were going to do, and they actually did it. So none of this is a surprise. Committing fraud has been in the works. Everybody knew this. People have been writing about it, speaking about it. I'm sure Trump knew about it. If everybody knew about it, he knew about it. And I'm cautiously optimistic that he is prepared for this and he has gamed this out. Trump doesn't lose. Of all the things that have been thrown at him in the past 4 or 5 years, from Access Hollywood to Mueller to Stormy and Avenatti to impeachment to all these books that have been written about him, everything he has come through with flying colors. I'm sure he's gamed this out and has a plan. But it's so obvious what's been done. He was taking the lead last night, and a bunch of states with Democrat governors, swing states, decided at the last minute to stop counting ballots.
Yeah.
At 4 a.m, Shazam, 100,000 ballots appear. Guess what? They're all for Joe Biden, not a single one for Trump. How does that happen? How can Wisconsin have more votes cast than there are registered voters? Where's the outcry? The media is just pushing this along. They've been complicit in all of this, very dishonest, even Fox. Fox wouldn't call Florida, but couldn't wait to call Arizona.
Right. Well, and now it looks like they may have to uncall Arizona, but they're not. And you're absolutely right. I mean, Biden comes on and says, okay, I think I'm the winner, and that's all okay. Trump says essentially the same thing. But I think you're right, Brian. Here's where I have hope, because exactly as you said, they've known this is coming. Trump has already filed for a recount in Wisconsin. He's already filed a lawsuit in Michigan. I think they're filing lawsuits in Pennsylvania. Now, my guess is the Biden team is equally lawyered up.
But it's not being lawyered up. It's whether whether you have had your spies within their organization, that you were had people who were there when they brought in the 100,000 votes, that they planned it from the beginning. Because you'll never, if you're looking at it from the outside looking in, you're never going to prove it. So we either had people inside the Democratic one who were spies for them who can say, yes, this is where they got the votes. This is how we did it. This is why it's legal. That's what's going to show up in court, not just the anecdotal stories
about
that
comparing
we all believe.
The signatures.
Oh, I agree. There's a high bar to prove this. You can't just assert it.
Right.
But knowing Trump, he knew this was going to happen. He's gamed this out. He's played out every scenario. He's a smart guy. And he's a strategist. He's not going to just get bamboozled by this. He's made it through 4 years of the left throwing absolutely everything at him. The media, the Democrats, Hollywood, academia, professional sports, you name it.
Right.
And
right.
And to assume that he's been caught flat-footed on this, and he's like, you know, like Cory Gardner would be, Gardner wouldn't have a clue about this. They could steal the election from him, and he'd happily give a concession speech.
Exactly.
The other side.
Well, let's give credit where credit is due. There are no more gracious concession speeches than by Walker Stapleton and by Cory Gardner.
I know how great John Hickenlooper is.
Republicans are very good at concession speeches, whether it's Romney or John McCain. Or every past Republican gubernatorial candidate in Colorado in the past two decades.
There was some idiot columnist I was reading who was saying Trump should just, and the Denver Post too, Trump should just shut up. And he's adding fuel to the fire by saying he's going to challenge it in court. And he was like, are you a moron?
Okay.
Do you really think, like you said, I mean, they've got vans of ballots sitting around all over the place. If Trump doesn't, and thank God for Trump, who says, no, I'm going to file a lawsuit. I'm going to fight this because that's this, like you said, the Democrats have been saying forever, this is what they were going to do. And they did it. And Trump said, knew it, saw you. And hopefully he's heading them off at the pass. On the better news though, your take on because we're all kind of, Chuck was so depressed last night. We're worried about the presidential race, obviously, but this was not, except for that, potentially a good night for Democrats. I mean, even in Politico, it's talking about congressional bloodbaths. The infighting's already starting. What do you make sort of on that front? There's at least some good news there.
Well, there's no blue wave. We heard for weeks about the blue wave. And the Democrats were going to expand their lead in the House and they were going to take the Senate and the White House, and it was all done. And Republicans should just give a concession speech and go away. But that didn't happen. There are a lot of races that didn't go their way. Look how much money the Democrats threw into defeating Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham, and both won easily.
Yeah.
And those are $100 million races.
Right.
And they won.
I was going to say the Trump campaign is now saying that they think, and again, I just think, you know, we say truth straight up here. I think you have to be careful and read, I don't even want to say read between the lines, but everything you read really from both sides with sort of a grain of salt. I noticed, like you said, the news media just atrocious, depending on which site you're at. There's this many votes up, that many votes up, this state's called, that state's called. But the Trump campaign is saying that they think that they may not have Arizona till Friday. How long are I know a person who has an astrologer who says it's going to be the 20th before the stars align, although that person seems to think Trump will win. But any thoughts on where are we going from here, and how does this potentially play out?
I have no idea. I couldn't tell you what day. It'd be a wild guess. I just know from experience watching Trump for the past 5-6 years, I wouldn't bet against him. I think that's a very risky bet. Everything they've thrown at him, even the virus, look how he's come through that. Everything they've thrown at him, they've come up on the losing end. I would not bet against them. I know it doesn't look good now. And it's disappointing. And what else is disappointing is that, you know, we're the top country in the world in terms of economy and technology and everything else. And we can't run a damn election.
We had a runaway.
No, they don't. That's what
it's, we had a system. We went and voted, and you couldn't be in the same booth as somebody. And yeah, and they had very little fraud. And of course, Democrats are winning, so they did away with it all, so they could have all the fraud they have.
Could take the poorest country in Africa or Asia. They'll have an election, and they'll have a decision by morning,
right?
If not that night. Look at the UK. The UK has their election, and the next day, the new prime minister moves into Downing Street.
The next day,
3 month transition.
It's incredibly suspicious that in Georgia, that in Nevada and Arizona, I mean, they keep talking about voter irregularities. They have equipment problems. It's like, wait, if they counted ballots all the way up until it looked like Trump was going to win, and then all of a sudden they had equipment problems. And here's the thing, and you're absolutely right. I mean, the Democrats aren't even pretending. They're not even pretending to just drop 100,000 ballots with not a single one for Trump. They're not even trying to hide it.
But you got to prove that.
No, I understand that, but I mean, they're
not. All we get are these anecdotal stories that we think, you know, prove that they're crooked. And yet we don't have somebody who says, yeah, I was in on it. I was there.
Well, that's what I think.
There are more votes cast than registered voters. So one of those two numbers is incorrect.
Well, and as you said, though, I wouldn't.
Some counties in Michigan where there are more votes cast than registered voters. So
right.
Already you've got, you know, a big problem.
That's well, and I think you're right.
Just say same day registration. They all came in the last minute.
But I think Chucky goes to your point, Brian, and your point, and that you don't want to count Trump out, because I think, like you said, I've been reading in Arizona, they keep referring to sort of, this is the Republicans, to their people on the ground. It's like, what people on the ground if they're counting? And I think that's what you're talking about when they're talking about the irregularities. I have a feeling, like you said, Trump had this gamed. He knew what was going to happen. He knew where he had to win. And I think that, at least I hope, please God, that he does have people in places where they're not just filing willy-nilly lawsuits on a wing and a prayer.
If he doesn't, then that's on him, because he has gamed everything else out and he has succeeded with every other obstacle, everything thrown at him. I mean, the list is very long over the past 4 or 5 years of what's been thrown at him, and he's come out on top of everything.
Right. And he resisted the urge. Everyone's like, oh, be nice. I mean, the Democrats taunted him saying he's going to refuse to concede, la, la, la. And everyone was like, OK, you know, like I said, that idiot colonist was saying, oh, he should just shut up and just wait and see what the results are. And he didn't buy into that. He's come out strong. And then Biden came out the same, too. So, I mean, I think he's doing everything he can.
Trump has his tweet censored, but not Biden or any Democrat.
Right.
And then you've got useless Republicans like Chris Christie that are, you know, piling on. What good are they? These people are losers. I'm waiting for Mitt Romney to pile on.
That's what we need. We need Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Well, and this is
Ben Sass.
Yeah, this is from Ben. He says, regardless who wins, each side, excuse me, will declare the winner as illegitimate. We're still a divided nation. And then Mark says, I want a divided country. Maybe he's really, I want liberty and freedom. I don't want to live as a communist. The one thing with this is if Biden wins, I do think, though, that the lack of a blue wave makes it harder to do some of the things that I think I feared that he was, you know, that they would
he'll just do.
Biden is a placeholder. It doesn't really matter. The odds of him making it to Easter as president is between slim and none. Right. Why do you think Pelosi was talking 25th Amendment? Not for Trump, but for Biden.
Right.
He'll get inaugurated and they'll have a congressional commission that pushes the 25th Amendment, and they'll have him out, and they'll have Harris, and she'll be beholden to whoever's behind her. They'll stack the cabinet with Warren and Bernie Sanders and Beto O'Rourke and Mayor Pete and all these people. And it's going to be a full-on leftist government, and you know, the country will get what it deserves. In a democracy, people get the government they deserve.
Although it is frustrating to see the Democrats cheat, but there again, like you say, when you feel it, to get back to local, and again, to folks, if you're not from Colorado, this is how they're going to do it. They control the legislatures and they change the rules and they change the law. Where you have the courts where all of a sudden they'll say, oh yeah, in Pennsylvania they can come in for 2 weeks. Don't have to have a postmark. Like what insanity is that?
But what they do, and they do it, the Republicans in Colorado never do, or almost never do. They sue. They endlessly sue. They'll extend it a week, extend it this, extend it that. They're in court every other day. Republicans in Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado Republicans do not fight. They've just given up. And basically, we're California now, where the Republican Party is largely irrelevant. Yeah. California has a few national people, you know, members of Congress in specific districts, but the senators, I mean, even in the, you know, a Senate election, it's one Democrat versus another Democrat. There's no Republican. The legislature, the governor, everything is controlled by Democrats there. And that's what Colorado is now. And the Colorado Republican Party has happily allowed that to happen. You know, they complain, they talk a good game, but they don't do anything.
They don't talk.
They've been rolled repeatedly, and they keep doing the same thing over and over again, running the same candidates, the same type candidate, expecting a different result, and it's not going to happen. And yes, the demographics have changed. You've got a lot of Californians that have moved to Colorado, moved to Arizona, and you know, part of that's inevitable, but look at the candidates the Republicans run. If Cory Gardner had set out deliberately to lose the election, what would he have done differently?
Yeah, no, exactly.
I can't think of anything he could have done differently. Wasted his money on TV ads and showing Hickenlooper taking a shower and himself, you know, talking about Parkland. Well, that's great, but that's probably not high on the radar screen of the average voter of, you know, national parks when you're dealing with healthcare and immigration and taxes and riots in the cities. Gardner said nothing about all the rioting.
Right.
You could tell by his concession speech that he was thrilled. He's very happy.
Well, yeah, he doesn't have to.
No, he's got a job on K Street, and he's you know, he's got 10 times the salary, and he's
no
fine.
No pressure, no nothing, no being nice to people.
Don't have to go to meetings. People have to buy him lunch and dinner and stuff all the time.
Yeah, I mean, he's in Fat City. He's got a congressional pension, and he's got a lobbying job. Right. Hopefully he doesn't run for governor because the same thing will happen.
Oh, God,
why
no.
Would you?
I don't think he will. Yeah, because he knows he'll lose.
Why would you go from a cush life of lobbying, huge House of Virginia, no real pressure about anything, to be governor of Colorado? He'd be insane to.
No. Well, Brian, what do you do if you're a columnist now? I mean, you know, I know our show, it's like, okay, well, we have another one on Friday. If you're a columnist now,
what are you doing?
What are you? Are you going to just try to stay in your surgical suite and just, you know?
I'm going to change my name and hide because Biden and Harris get in office. I've got a target on my back, as do a lot of people. I'll have a tax audit. I'll have all sorts of things. I'll have Medicare license audited. That's crazy. This is a vengeful group, and they're going to be taking names.
Oh, you don't have to tell me and Chuck it's a vengeful group. You know, it's like they don't like you speak out against you. They will do everything they can, to destroy you. Well, any final thoughts before we let you? How late did you stay up last night?
Chuck was probably 10 o'clock. I had to get to work in the morning. I could see what was happening, and they weren't going to call anything.
Yeah,
but very disappointing. But I'm optimistic. I have faith in Trump that he's gamed this out and that he has a plan for this, and he's not going to drop the ball on this. He's very loyal to his supporters, and the 50,000 per rally over the last week. People coming out, supporting him, contributing, standing in the cold for hours to hear a 45-minute speech. He has a bond with those people, and he's not going to want to let everybody down. So I think he will fight this. He always fights. He doesn't, you know, look how he fought impeachment and Mueller and everybody else. And he does it in his way, and some may not like the style, but it's effective.
Right. Right. A win is a win.
There are other styles like Colorado Republicans, and their styles don't fare too well.
No. You know,
they're very gentlemanly and they give nice concession speeches, but that's the extent of it. And if that's your goal is to lose and give a good concession speech, well, have at it.
Yeah. You only get to do that once, though. Unfortunately, for Republicans.
Republicans get to do it two or three times.
No, what I mean, though, is we're never gonna win again. So they can just recycle the speech. Oh, Brian, are you working on something? Do you have something coming out soon?
No, I had something yesterday about, or not Monday. No, yesterday. I'm losing track. It's all a blur.
Yeah, what day is
I had a piece in American Thinker yesterday, really about what was at stake and that people needed to vote and pray, really, to support the president and his agenda and what's going on, that this is a pivotal election. If the Democrats gain power and gain control, that's it. They're going to rig the game and they'll win national office again.
Yep.
And that's what's happening in Colorado. Do you think someone in Colorado is going to, a Republican in Colorado is going to win national office? Fat chance.
No, not going to happen. Hey, this is from Martha. Somebody's texting us here. Brian, I love your posts. They are awesome. I agree. So keep it up. We'll look for you.
Yesterday, I got suspended from Twitter for 12 hours.
Yay!
We got labeled fake news by Facebook, too. I mean, I teased the show today. I can't say what I want to say because Facebook will ban it. But you all know what I want to say, so tune in because we'll be saying it.
I had a sarcastic tweet about one of the polls showed Biden up by 16 points. So I said, hey, Democrats, don't bother coming out to vote. It doesn't matter. You got this. Don't stand in the cold and worry about catching a virus. Just you got it. It doesn't matter. And it's like, oh, you're giving false election information.
Oh yay. Well, you made the big time then.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Take care.
My pleasure.
We appreciate it. Oh, and this is from Ben. Ben, thank you. We need to expand it 2 hours. Also from Ben, Corey is not moving back to Colorado. No. Well, hey, guys, we don't have 2 more hours. We have about, about 10 more minutes. So if anybody is on Zoom, and if you'd like to go ahead and pop up, go ahead and unmute your mic. I don't know if Anil was, Anil always has great thoughts. There he is. I said, listen, if you can. Anil's trying to work. He's like, George, hey, Anil, thank you for joining us. You're go ahead and unmute yourself. Your thoughts on things.
It's great hearing Brian Jundep and it's great hearing George and Ben. And I don't know what else I could add. I mean, when's the state party going to have their funeral service? I like to go. I mean,
they're too broke. Pauper's grave. I mean,
Will anyone actually even notice?
I said it last year. I mean, I told Gardner was going to lose in 2020. This wasn't just wishful thinking. I knew exactly what was going to happen. And, we're 5-10 years out from the state minimum before anything can really change. So give up on the state and give up on the federal part within the state and just focus on the local elections. Other than that, there's no hope for the state. The state's done. And, I'm trying to be optimistic, but
you're not succeeding. You're not succeeding.
No. It's just Chuck. We can let's get Anita Seitz out of office in Westminster. Yep. Let's get the Herb and the other two out with this recall.
Yep. Right.
And let's start educating the Republican voters because many of them just basically have no clue about the platform of the Constitution. And let's clean house and kick all these consultants out of the Republican Party and try to do something. Other than that, it's just we are the California Republican Party here in Colorado.
Right. Well, and to me, it was alarming to me to see some of the ballot initiatives that passed. Here's I'm going to tell the little anecdotal thing. Folks in Denver, you're going to have a rude awakening. They approved every. So Rev has, we go to McDonald's sometimes and he always gets the number 10 or 6, whatever, the Chick-fil-A, the chicken nuggets, right? In Denver, it's $8.09, which is crazy. Federal Heights, it's $9.03. And in Westminster, it's $9.12. So we tend to buy the chicken nuggets when we're in Denver, right? But not anymore. I mean, Denver just every pack. I mean, it's going to be like $40 to get a 6-piece chicken nugget meal anymore. I mean, it's the kind of stuff. Elections, like you say, have consequences. And hopefully, I don't want to give up. I think you're right. Statewide, the Republican Party's done. But locally, I think people, hopefully it's going to get so bad in Colorado when they legalize heroin, which is going to happen this year. If they could do it in Oregon, they did it here. People are going to look around and say, really, is this what we want? And maybe we can start winning some of these local races.
Yeah, I think the big thing here is you got to educate your base because really they're clueless. I mean, in Patrick's group, like 7 or 8 Republicans who are conservative had a ballot. I mean, had a record was taken out by Democrats that came in and registered, D's as R's. And the Republican voters voted for the Democrats, basically.
Right.
That's where we're at. I mean, the Republican voters are basically not all, but many are clueless. The Central Committee is useless. They're impotent. And so you just basically, I think, to George's point, you got to destroy this whole thing here and focus on small local elections for any hope for Colorado.
Well, the good part about it is you don't have to destroy anything because it's already destroyed.
That's true. But you know what? I do have hope, Chuck, you know, that we can try to see if we can get this recall done in Westminster, you know,
forget everything else.
We got to get these corrupt cronies out of the local office. That's my hope right now for next year. So we can get Sites to not run for mayor and get somebody in. I don't know. We'll see. I don't trust the three Republicans in the office there right now. And so it's just we need a steel spine. But, that's where we're at.
And you are right. A steel spine. And again, I go back to just sort of tying it up with the national. I mean, that's where Dr. Jundep, I think, is absolutely right. Because I said this to Chuck. I'm like, I am so glad that Trump is the president, because I mean, anybody else would have just been like, oh, I guess I don't want to, that's rude to file a legal challenge. Trump is like, he's saying, I am taking this to the Supreme Court.
All the way, Julie. There should be no stop here. There has to be a fight. Take it to the courts, do the recounts, do everything. We'll see what happens here, but don't give up whatsoever. Don't concede at all. And I support the president. I just donated a little bit this morning just to see if, my little piece, a penny here could help him with the legal costs, but don't give up, keep fighting. You never know. I mean, Arizona, you know, most cowards in the Republican Party would have given up. And I hear they pulled, I think, Arizona back away from Biden.
Right.
And so, you never know. I mean, Pennsylvania, I think, is going to swing in his direction. The whole thing here with Wisconsin, Michigan is very troubling. I'm hoping, I think they closed out Georgia, but I'm not 100% sure. So no, don't give up. I think there's a good chance that he can get elected the right way. You just got to expose all these corrupt people. So I would tell people, don't give up whatsoever. And President, do not concede whatsoever. Let this go all the way to Supreme Court. Don't do it the way the Democrats would do it and just fight like crazy and never concede.
All right,
Neil,
thanks
so much. We appreciate you coming
your
on.
Time. Yeah. Well, and we're fighting in Westminster. All right. And real quick, we've got about a minute left. Let's go to Jacob from Denver and Don from Colorado Springs. Call back on Friday. We'll get the phone calls there. But hey, Jacob, you got about a minute here. Thanks for calling up.
Hi. The President Trump had promised Cory Gardner that he would never bother the marijuana sellers here as long as he was in office. But I think now that Hickenlooper is going to come in, I can see Barr going out using Colorado as a test state to go after the marijuana.
Sure.
That's a good point. All right. Hey, thank you, Jacob. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye. Hey, the show brought to you today by ColoradoCitizenPress.com.
And Synergetics. We'll talk more about Synergetics and a great way to stay as healthy and as vibrant as you possibly can.
All right. Hey, check out our podcast. If you just came in late, if you missed something, ChuckandJulie.com. Thank you to all of our great guests today. Thank you to the guys at BBS. Hang in there, guys. Hang in there. It's not over till it's over. We'll see you on Party Friday.
Party Friday. It's going to be a real Party Friday.